As we heard, especially in that first reading, what happened at Pentecost is amazing. Despite everything Jesus did, there is something different today. The apostles lived with Jesus for 3 years. They saw every kind of miracle imaginable, including the raising of the dead, healing of the blind, multiplication of the loaves and the fish, Jesus walking on the water. They even saw Jesus several times after he had risen from the dead. And yet, the gospel was not being proclaimed. What did the Holy Spirit give that even Jesus didn't give before that? Read the Acts of the Apostles. After Pentecost, the power Peter displayed was so well known that people would lay their sick on the mats in the street in the hopes that when Peter walked by, that just his shadow might touch them and heal them. That's amazing. But what was it that the Holy Spirit gave that made the difference? The Holy Spirit gave them a participation in the very life of God. The Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. In giving us the Holy Spirit, we are given a real share in the mystery of God's divine life, in the mystery of his love, in the mystery of his divine power. The disciples were literally possessed by the Holy Spirit, but, and this is very important, but not against their wills. This is what makes the difference. As a result, the disciples moved from thinking about their plans to being open to God and his plans. This enabled the Spirit to act in and through them. And if you don't feel a fire to proclaim the good news like the apostles did, please understand that there is more to life with God than you yet understand. John's gospel tells us elsewhere that God did not ration the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit given at Pentecost was given to each of us. However, we are the ones who restrict and limit what the Holy Spirit can do with us and through us. The work of the Holy Spirit is limited by a different kind of possession. St. Paul refers to this as being debtors to the flesh. Hear again what St. Paul warns us. He says, we are not debtors to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't know about you, but those words get my attention, because Paul is not just talking about addiction to drugs or pornography or shopping or gambling as things that get in the way or isolate us from God. It's also the many little things that distract us from our mission, that weaken our wills and our understanding, that make us seek our own pleasure rather than pleasing God. You can kind of look at it as always needing to satisfy our five senses. For example, are we unable to set our phones aside for an hour or two without becoming irritable or anxious? Do we need a steady amount of background noise? Do we have to have the best of everything in clothes, housewares, electronics, tools? Are we tyrants when it comes to the thermostat in our house? Do the foods we eat always have to be to our taste? Do we feel sorry for those who will have to go through all of our stuff when we die? If we move from life being about our comfort and our plans to one that is open to God's plans, then we will begin to experience a deeper share in the mystery of God's divine life. The Holy Spirit, that love between the Father and the Son, already dwells in us because of baptism. But does he dwell in the center? Does he fill the entire house with his light and with his presence? Because he wants to take full possession, but not against our wills. So many people who are baptized don't sense this because they have become debtors to the flesh, slaves to the world's approval, debtors to its comforts. They can't hear God's voice because there are so many competing voices and noises in their lives. It's like a nest filled with baby birds. Feed me, feed me, feed me, constantly. So what is needed for us to become more open to being possessed by the Holy Spirit? Our first reading from the Acts shows us two aspects to the answer. Unlike what distracts us or enslaves us, these will actually strengthen our wills and our understanding. The first is the essential role of the community. We heard that they were all in one place together. There is a vital role of the community that many diminish or neglect as an integral part of faith, of truth, of love. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you can do it on your own. You might do something good, but it won't be Christianity. The church is the body of Christ. Each member of the body is part of the answer to building God's kingdom. The body cannot function with only one part, nor can it heal or thrive without all the parts working together. The second element to open ourselves to possession by the Holy Spirit is time alone with Him. Like the disciples, get locked away from the world for a time. Reading and studying are part of that upper room to which we can go as a way to get away from the influences of the world. Quiet prayer is a place where we can begin to perceive the promptings of the Spirit. To be sure, long times alone are preferred, but even the little moments that you can find throughout the day can do immense good. I find so often that little breaks I get at work, maybe when I'm walking between meetings or between buildings, are so important to refocus my heart and my mind. You might be a mom with young children and feel, you know, time alone with God, that's impossible. But if you find the moments that are just the little ones that are there, that time in the shower, that moments before you get up in the morning, if you find a way to steal little glances at God whenever you can throughout the day, you will develop an awareness of just how close He is to you. Our first reading says that the disciples proclaimed the gospel as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. The Holy Spirit gave them something new, but they also enabled the Holy Spirit by being prepared. They had been on retreat, so to speak, for 9 days after the ascension. They were isolated in prayer with Mary and each other. Yes, the Spirit enabled them, but they were also prepared for the Spirit to take possession of them. Are we prepared? What is God wanting to do in your life? Maybe you should ask Him. Read and meditate on the Gospels. They are a firm foundation to know what God has done, what God is doing, and what He wants to do. If you're pressed for time, or maybe you're driving your car and it's not a good time to pull out your Bible and read it, you know, reflect upon the three great mysteries of our faith. The Nativity, the Son of God coming as a baby in poverty and vulnerability. The Passion of Christ, the Son of God surrendering and sacrificing His life for our salvation. The mystery of the tabernacle, the Son of God hidden and alone, waiting for us to sit with Him and bathe in His presence. If we spend more time in that upper room, pondering what God is about, we will be better disposed to respond. We will begin to understand His heart, to comprehend His inner life. The Holy Spirit will be able to take greater possession of us and not against our wills. And then from that union with the Spirit will flow His gifts of courage and fortitude and understanding. His fruits of love, joy, peace, and patience, The gifts and the fruits don't come as something separate from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes first, and with him come the fruits and the gifts. We respond to him first, and then he shows us how to use those gifts. If you don't feel that fire to proclaim the gospel, please know that there is more to life with God than you yet grasp. And therefore, my prayer for you is that you will let God move and dwell in you in a new and profound way. And then, with the power of God himself, you will go and set the world on fire once again.